What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Elizabeth Grace Saunders, and a little bit about Elizabeth. She is the founder of Real Life E, a time management coaching company that empowers people who feel guilty, overwhelmed, and frustrated to feel peaceful, confident, and accomplished. She was also named one of the world's top 30 time management professionals by Global Gurus. She is the author of 3 books, including How to Invest Your Time Like Money. And on this episode, a few things that we talk about is the biggest mistake busy people unconsciously make about being busy. This is really, really an interesting thing we dive into. We talk about 3 ways you can start gaining control of your time. And we talk about some of the most effective ways you can start immediately sort of being more in control of your time, managing it more effectively so that you can ultimately have more ease and more peace in your life rather than stress and overwhelm. So this is going to be a fun one. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can join us every single week on the show. And other than that, my friend, we are going to dive in. Here we go. Elizabeth Grace Saunders, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we kick off the episode, I would love it if we could dive in where, you know, you and I were talking before we hit record. You're like, yeah, I just got off a bunch of different coaching calls, and obviously you got your newborn baby, so you've been busy mom and doing some of those coaching calls. And so I guess where I would be curious to start is you work with people all the time about time, right? And kind of helping them figure out this aspect of their life, which I work with a lot of people all the time. And one of the biggest things I think people struggle with is they're like, I just don't have enough time. So I'm curious, when you first start working with somebody, sort of 2 questions is, one, how do you help someone that goes, I don't have any time, would be my first question, mm-hmm. I guess.
Absolutely. So where we start is with an overall assessment of their entire schedule. So what that looks like is, if people are working with me with a 3-month program or a 6-month program, I'll do a schedule assessment, and we'll talk through everything from when are they going to bed, when are they getting up, when are they exercising, when are they working, when are they doing different types of work within their workday, what other things would they like to get done. And then I take that information and I lay out an initial weekly schedule. And the reason we always start there is we want to have a macro level view of how their time fits together, because a lot of times people feel like they don't have enough time because they don't. Their expectations are entirely unrealistic of what will fit in a day or a week. And so we always want to start out with getting things back to realistic expectations before we work on like the micro level things of time management skills or techniques.
Yeah. Interesting. So when you have people do that, is that a matter of, like, let's say you say, okay, we're going to macro, write out your schedule for the week, and someone goes, like, I just go throughout the week. Like, I don't have something I can hand you that says this is what I'm doing every day when I'm doing it. So if you have someone that's going to say, hey, let's kind of like audit your schedule, your time, do you have them then for the next 7 days write down everything they're doing every minute of every day? Or like, how does that process start to work so that it's also not overwhelming? Because I think, at least when I think of that, it could, if I'm like, I got to think of everything I'm doing every minute, it's like, right, man, this is going to be a lot. So how do you help someone kind of with that initial part?
Get there. Yeah. So some people come to me with quite a bit of structure, and some people have none at all. They literally wake up and see what happens for the day. So I don't expect them to have structure. I'm happy to create it for them. And so I ask them all these kinds of questions about their day, and then I'm the one that actually puts together the whole template of how it fits together.
Interesting.
So they don't even have to come up with it. And then what I encourage them to do is to just print out what I put together for them, and we start somewhere. So maybe I have this beautiful weekly schedule of all the different parts of their time and what that looks like, but we just start with sleep. And maybe it's like, okay, so right now you're going to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning. It'd be a better life choice to go to bed between 11 and midnight. How are we going to do that? Yeah. And we talk through the details of what would that look like? What's keeping you up? What would it take to get to bed by 11 or midnight? And then how are you going to get up in the morning? And what time is good for you? And what will help you get up? And we go through that whole process of starting to put in place the different elements of the schedule, because often why people fail at time management is they try to do everything all at once instead of building things up like bit by bit.
Yeah. Interesting. So if we dive into, you know, kind of your own story, because I think there's an interesting part of your story that kind of aligns with this, where, you know, at one point you kind of stumbled into entrepreneurship, and you were, you know, rocking and rolling, you were doing really well, but at the same time you were ridiculously busy, right? Like if I, you know, did my research correctly, it's like some nights you'd get home at 10 p.m. and it's like you're just all day, you're cranking, you're trying to fit so much in. And I'm curious, like when you got to that point in your life, how did you start to transition from, okay, I'm so busy, I'm trying to fit so much in, some days I'm working till 8, 9, 10, to then all of a sudden having a little bit of like ease and peace. And I know one thing you talk about is like being able to manage your time and not having guilt about that you're not doing 10 million things at once. So how did you kind of start to do that process and go from way too much to, you know, actually having some balance?
Right. Well, I think the first and most critical thing was even deciding I wanted it or it was possible. So this was back in about 2007, not to date myself, but I started my first business in 2005. So 2007, I recognized I don't want to live this way anymore. Like, I don't want to feel guilty for not answering business email at 10 or 10:30 at night. I don't want to feel like I have to work on Saturday and Sunday and can't take time off guilt-free. Like, I just don't want that. And that might seem very basic right now to say that, but back in 2007, like, lifestyle entrepreneurship was not as common a thing. So the 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss came out like around that time, and so he was kind of bringing in the idea of being an entrepreneur and not hating your life. But if you went to a lot of entrepreneurship conferences at that point in time, and let's say listen to a panel discussion, a lot of the people would say to you like, oh, you've got to suffer. Like, everything has to be horrible. And like, you need to like stay up till 2 a.m. every night or you're going to fail.
Your eyes aren't melting out of your face. You're not working hard enough.
So me to even decide, hey, this isn't working for me, was the first step. And so anyone listening to this, if you have terrible work-life balance or like you feel guilty all the time when you're not working, you have to come to the point of saying, hey, I don't want this and I want to find some way for it to be different. So that was, I think, a really critical first step. Then from there, there was a emotional kind of spiritual component, and then there was a practical component. So the emotional spiritual thing that I was going through at that time was really recognizing that I needed to accept my value wasn't just in what I did, because I had some unhelpful programming that if I was productive, I had value. So if I stopped doing something, I subconsciously was thinking I'm worthless. And so if you feel like you're worthless, if you're not doing something, then of course you're going to like want to fill your time all the time with doing as much as possible. So I was really going through a program. It was a Christian program of like, how do you unprogram the unhelpful ways of thinking and accept the truth that like you're loved just for who you are and that you're enough. And for me, with my faith-based perspective, it's like God loves you and cares for you, and like you don't need to earn your worth. You can just accept and receive that through your relationship with Jesus. So that was going on. And then from a practical point of view, I started to figure out so many things around boundaries and planning. And so those boundaries were with others, but also myself. When I started my first business, I didn't have any boundaries around when I was working or not working. So I'd work at 10 o'clock at night, but then I'd run errands at like 10 a.m. in the morning. And so I had to set boundaries with myself, like between about 9 to 5, 9 to 6, you are only working. You're not getting coffee with friends. You're not doing personal errands. Like, this is all you're doing. And so setting those boundaries with myself, and then also setting boundaries with others. I had a terrible habit at the time. When people, I was a freelancer. I did writing, editing, and photo styling for magazines. And when people asked me to do something, I would say, oh, I'll get that to you by tomorrow. They did not need it by tomorrow. No one asked for me by tomorrow, but I said, I'll get it to you by tomorrow. And then it was creating chaos in my life because I was staying up till 1 a.m. for tomorrow things that didn't need to be tomorrow. So I needed to learn to stop saying, I'll get it to you tomorrow. I needed to learn to tell people like when I could get things done, have realistic expectations and deadlines, and then work a lot into planning out my week and my day to avoid that stress and avoid the overflow. So like, for example, one of the mistakes I made when I had terrible balance is I would aim towards the deadline. So if an article was due on Wednesday, I would think, oh, I need to get this done by Wednesday, and then be like Wednesday at 10 p.m. It's not done, and you're like up crazy late. So I'd start to plan out my week where it's like, okay, this is due Wednesday. I'm going to try to get this done by Monday. So if anything comes up or takes longer, I still have all of Tuesday and even Wednesday to get this done. And so I was really working on this process of boundaries with myself, like clear on when I'm working and clear on when I'm not working, boundaries with others, not just saying I'll do everything right away or I'll do this tomorrow. And then really thinking through what could create stress, and then what can I plan to avoid the stress prior to it happening?
Dang, that's awesome. Yeah. I think one thing that's like so powerful that you said it is this idea of having a program where as long as you're busy, you're valuable. And if you're not busy, unconsciously, you're believing that you're worthless, right? I mean, it's like, I think you look at a lot of people who are entrepreneurs and busy in their life. I would guess that you are not the only one that has that program running, right? Where a lot of people, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to grind. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to work because this means I have value. I think it's such an interesting thing saying I'm going to detach myself from this idea of if I'm busy and productive and working, I'm valuable. And like, I'm still valuable even when I'm not working. Like, I think that's such a, it's huge. Cause if you have that belief, it doesn't even matter if you have all the time mastering skills. If your belief is still that when I'm not busy, I'm worthless, you're still going to be busy, right? Because you don't want to be worthless.
Right. Yeah. And it creates a mental amount of anxiety.
Yeah, interesting. So how does somebody maybe go about unraveling that, that idea that like when I'm not busy, I'm still value. Like, I think that's such a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to share. And this is like one of the fundamental things that comes up for a lot of high achievers. And I think a lot of times people can get away with this because it's an incredibly socially acceptable addiction. You know, like there's things like, you know, being an alcoholic or drug addiction or, you know, gambling that people generally understand, like, this is not a good life choice and it leads to bad consequences. But a lot of times it takes longer to literally burn out when your addiction is busyness than some of these other things. You can burn out, but a lot of times you're going to get a lot of validation, a lot of approval, maybe success in your career or that sort of thing. And so even when I'm saying this, I know some people might be recoiling a little bit, like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm a high achiever. Like, I'm awesome. And what I mean, and what I'll explain and kind of the pathway to get there, is it is fine to be a high achiever. I love getting things done. In the StrengthsFinder test, achiever is one of my top five strengths. It is fine to work hard. It is fine to have success. All of that is great. But how can you tell if maybe you're someone who has that programming, like, if I'm not doing something, I'm worthless or I don't have value? Some of the ways you can tell is, how do you feel when you stop? So, like, for example, if it's a Saturday or Sunday, can you take 2 days or a day where you're not checking your phone constantly to see if someone needs you at work, or, you know, like, respond to messages or that sort of thing? When you go on vacation, do you enjoy your vacation, or do you feel almost anxious or uncomfortable? Like, what do I even do with myself? I'm just sitting here on a beach, or I'm just going hiking, or whatever you're doing. And like almost like you're having withdrawal symptoms. Like, if you're experiencing any of that, like, you might be having this issue. And so the way to move forward is, first of all, just even recognize that you are experiencing these things. And what I encourage you to do is just write out whatever your thoughts are. Like, it could be like, I feel like I'm valuable because I get things done, or my identity is an achiever, or I feel like I'm worthless if I stop. Like, whatever it is, just like whatever comes to your mind, and it can be totally unfiltered. It, you don't have to have it be politically correct. It just is what it is. And then what you want to do is to look at those and really, really think about whether those are true. And even more importantly, do you want them to be your truth, in terms of how you're approaching your life? And one of the best ways to really think about this is, if you're a parent, like I just recently became a parent, or if you might be a parent in the future, or even if you're not, doesn't matter. What would you want to say to a child? Like, if you were looking at a five-year-old, whether it's your child or, you know, someone else's, would you really want to tell some five-year-old, hey, you're worthless if you're not doing something? Like, you better get working on building some Lego, or else you have no value. Like, no, of course. Like, you would never say that to them. That's like, brutal. Or would you, like, say to, like, you know, like a seven-year-old that is building, you know, a fort or something, like, what are you doing building this fort? Like, you should be practicing algebra or something. Like, this is like of no value. Like, you're worthless. Like, of course you wouldn't. Like, you would be like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I love you just for being you. And like, that's amazing. So just like you would want to talk to a child, you want to talk to yourself. And so look at all the negative things you wrote down, and then come up with positive affirmations about who you are and about your worth. And so that could look like, you know, I'm valued and treasured just for me and me. I'm a human being, not a human doing. It's okay to rest. It's okay to pause. I can disconnect success from suffering. I'm of value for who I am. Like, whatever those are, like, write them down. And then you can look at those every single day. And then also what I did when I was going through this program was called Christ Life, and I think now it's called The Ultimate Journey. They actually had recordings for you to listen to of these positive affirmations. You could literally, like, drill into your head what the truth was. So if you want to record this for yourself or have someone else say them, you can. And you basically want to start reprogramming your mind to think what is true, instead of maybe what you might have picked up along the way that is not true.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Yeah, I love the idea of just even like the affirmations. And, you know, I've done lots of affirmations in my life. And I think sometimes when someone initially hears an idea of it, it's like, eh, it's kind of weird. I'm going to tell myself and, like, say to myself in the mirror, I'm valuable and treasured just for being me. But it's like, you do these things, and you'll be surprised that when you say something to your conscious enough, eventually it goes into your unconscious mind. And eventually you wake up one day and you go, wow, I'm not working today, and I feel valuable and treasured.
Yeah.
It is a really, really powerful thing.
It is. It's true. Heck, whatever you repeat in your brain is going to be the neural connections and the path that your thoughts follow.
Yeah. So cool. So then let's say now we have someone and they go, okay, now I am not attached to this idea that I'm only valuable when I work, right? We've made a huge step. They're like, I can actually, you know, on a Saturday, hang out with some people I love and actually enjoy it because I know that I'm valued and treasured just for being me. Then all of a sudden they're enjoying Saturday, enjoying Sunday, and now Monday comes back and they go, okay, I'm valued, but I still have work and a life and things I got to do. So like, what would be a few things once people, let's say, have an idea of, they've audited their time, they kind of know what their schedule looks like at a high level. What are a few things people can start to put in place in their life to have more, like be more effective or efficient with their time so that by the time they get to Friday, they go, man, that was, you know, I feel really good about this week. I feel like I made progress in the things I needed to, and it's Saturday and I'm going to go, you know, enjoy whatever I'm doing on Saturday. Just like I did the previous Saturday. Like, what are a few things they could start to put in place for that?
For sure. So I'll list out three things. So the first is, if you're, I know there's probably a wide variety of people in this audience, but if you're in the corporate world and you happen to be sucked into a lot of meetings, really check your meeting schedule. Like, you may or may not be able to say no to certain meetings, but you might. And so if you are back to back in meetings, you're really struggling to have time to get your own work done, try to set some boundaries around what you do or don't accept. Or you might just want to place some focus time on a recurring basis into your calendar, so people at least have to schedule around that so you can get some time to get your own work done during the week. So that would be one thing, because a lot of times why people feel like, oh, I always have to be working, is that their daytimes are full of like messages to people and meetings, and then at 5 or 6 o'clock they can actually get their own work done. So I would start there, create space to do what you need to do. The second thing I would do is really think about how you want to fill that space with what will have the biggest impact with your time. So that would involve doing what I call weekly planning. And it is really as simple as looking ahead over your week, seeing what time you have available, looking over your task list or your project list, and picking out what are the key things for the week, either the ones with deadlines or the ones that are most important. Slotting those into your calendar. So if you have time Monday afternoon, being like, okay, I'm going to work on this report, or I have time Wednesday, I'm going to work on this new program or whatever it is. And then really getting clear on like, these are the top objectives, these are top goals, and what's realistic. Like, I'd rather have you pick 2 or 3 important projects, put in time, and you can really get those done, than be like, oh, I'm going to work on these 10 projects, and then just feel overwhelmed when you get to that open slot of time about where do I even start, what do I even do, and like, at the end of the week on Friday, oh my gosh, I didn't get 10 projects done, I'm a total failure. I'd rather have you pick 2 or 3, put those in, and really get those done. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is, I would say, really watch out for distractions. So I know this can happen to anyone at any age, but my understanding is most people listening to this will be in their 20s and 30s. And so often the younger crowd like is really into their smartphones, into social media, into, you know, articles or blogs or podcasts or whatever. When you have that open block of time, do not use it for checking Instagram or Snapchat or like whatever your thing is, you know, like, or TikTok. Use it for what's most important. And if you really love that social media, you could have that as a reward. So if I get this report done, then, and I have 20 minutes left before my next meeting, then I can check my feed or whatever that looks like. But don't give your time away. And if you can't control yourself, uninstall things, put in blockers, do whatever you need to do to take back your time. Because you should get angry about the fact that there are people whose full-time job is to just steal your attention, steal your life, steal your energy. And if you are spending hours during your day looking at things related to people you don't even know or you're never going to meet or like you barely know, and then that keeps you from spending time with your friends or family on the weekend, that is a horrible trade-off. Like, that is a really horrible trade-off. And don't get angry at yourself and like self-critical, but kind of like get angry and be like, these people are stealing my time. They're stealing my life. They're keeping me from who I want to be. No, like, you can't do it. And for me, I don't even have a lot of apps or social media because why? Like, who cares? I don't need to be on every social media channel, and is not leading me towards the main goals I have for my life.
Yeah. That is, it is so, yeah. It's interesting to think before, you know, social media and all this, it's like when people had space in their schedule, right? It's like they would, I mean, I'm sure they'd still find things to distract themselves, but it's like right. a lot of that time, if you don't have a smart computer literally in your pocket, right, where you pull it out and there's 10 million things that are just attractive and like grab your attention and they're engaging. It's like, it is such an interesting thing. It's, we had someone named Dr. Meg Jay on the podcast, and she is like a, you know, a school psychologist and kind of helps people transition into the real world. And she's wrote a number of really, really awesome books. And one of the things she said is she oftentimes has students come in and they're like, yeah, I'm not, you know, super happy in my life. And she's like, how much time are you on Instagram? And she's like, sometimes people be on Instagram for like 8 hours a day or something. And it's like, it's crazy that people, yeah, I mean, it's like, and then she starts having them scale back and all of a sudden they become happier, you know, when you go from 8 hours to 2 hours. And it's like, it is so interesting that, you know, people are trying to pull your time away. And so one yeah. thing I would be curious is, you know, you say, be careful with distractions. And, you know, it is interesting. It's like you go to focus on something and you get distracted and it's so hard to come back to a task at some point. It's like, you really need to like be there, lock in, like, you know, turn your phone on, do not disturb, like whatever. And like, give yourself the time to say, I'm going to do this. But what if you have, let's say, I'm going to use the word unexpected distractions, but like, as an example, you're now a mother, your baby's 3 yep. years old. So
or
as
3 months
someone
old,
who
actually
is,
3.5 months old.
Sorry. 3.5 months old. So as someone yep. being the time expert that you are, and having a 3.5 month old, my imagination, because I don't have kids, you know, would be that you're going to work on stuff and something's going to happen here. The baby's going to cry here. Baby's going to need food there. Yeah. Right. So yeah. how, as you've stepped into this new chapter of your life where, yeah. And again, it's a beautiful chapter having, you know, a child in your life now, but how have you changed the way you approach time now that you are a mother?
Right. Well, it's both and. So in some ways, I haven't changed at all. Like, I'm just as structured and maybe even more structured than before, because I have to be to remember everything. And I basically have two programs going on. So I have my program of what I need to get done, and then I have what my daughter needs. So it's like, yeah. okay, this is what's going on, and she needs to get fed like every 2.5-3 hours, and like she has her naps and all yeah. of that. So I keep a lot of my basic routines the same. And when I have days when I'm working and she has care, I pretty much do things exactly the same. I make my weekly plan, my daily plan. I check things off and it's all that. On days when I'm taking mm-hmm. care of her, I absolutely have to be more flexible, but I still make a plan. So I have my plan for the mm-hmm. day. I know what's most important. I write it out, and I just have to have realistic expectations that things are not always going to yeah. go according to plan, and she might need my help or not have as good a nap or have a blowout or something else. And so what that has done is not kept me from planning, but helped me realize I have to put in even more margin, like work on things in advance, not expect I'm going to get as much done in the day, because there will be unexpected interruptions. And also, I love her. And if she's awake and wants yeah. to play or just like wants to smile at me, I'm like, this is like the best thing ever. Like, I yeah. want to smile. Like, it's, I know that sounds really weird, but like when you first have a child, they
no,
don't smile
awesome.
When they're first
yeah.
born. They're like kind of squishy and like, and then yeah. like once they realize they can smile, they're just like, and you're just like,
they love it.
And you can like that literally so spend fun. 5 or 10 minutes just like smiling at each other, and you're like, this is amazing.
That is
so
awesome.
So what I've learned is to just scale things back and not get frustrated, and recognize like this is yeah. part of the process, and also just be even more careful about like what I'm spending time on. Is it really the highest priority? Because if it's going to take me away from her, then it better be something that's really important to me and yeah. In what I'm doing. So yes, you can be flexible, but then also, like I said, I have days I work where she has care, and then I can just be like get done everything that needs to get done.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. Well, Elizabeth, it's been so much fun to kind of dive into your life and your journey and everything that you're doing. And I'm curious, you know, if our listeners going, I need more of Elizabeth in my life. I need to be better at my time. What's the best way they can find you, hang out with you, and dive more into your world?
Absolutely. So my website is reallifee.com. And so that's R-E-A-L-L-I-F-E. And then another E is in Elizabeth.com. And you can find out there about one-on-one coaching, group coaching. I've written 3 books. Yeah. And there's like links to hundreds, if not thousands, of articles I've written over the years. So you can find all kinds of resources there.
Heck yeah. Love it, love it. And my last question for you, a question we ask to all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we really believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
So I would say that a lot of times the best thing you can do is to slow down and think. So I would say in the next 24 to 48 hours, slow down, take a piece of paper and a writing utensil. I wouldn't encourage you to even have necessarily any sort of electronics, and get away. Like maybe it's just going outside to a park or go to a coffee shop or wherever you want, and to just write and think about what gives you joy and what is really authentic to who you are. Not like what you think success will be, but like what is authentic to who you are, how you're made, what you want to do, and just brainstorm about that. And then start to see what could be possible in that direction. And it might not be an immediate thing in changing your career or your business, but it could be just even a small shift that you begin that brings you towards your authentic self.
Heck yeah. Love it, love it. Well, Elizabeth, thank you again so much for being here. It's been an absolute joy, and we massively appreciate you.
You're welcome. My delight.
Heck yeah. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for hanging out with me on the podcast. And other than that, my friend, have a beautiful, wonderful, outstanding rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.